everyone. I'm Brandon Odo.
And I'm Brian Bowling.
And this is Critical Care Scenarios, the podcast where we use clinical cases, narrative, storytelling, and expert guests to unpack how critical care is practiced in the real world. Hey, everyone. It's Brandon. Welcome back to another Turbo. Today, I wanted to reflect with you on the differences and the pros and cons and considerations between two of the modes of mechanical ventilation that we typically use, those being pressure and volume control ventilation. This is one of the two main axes through which you can define a ventilator mode. This looking at how we define or target each breath, what that breath looks like, and the other being how it's triggered. So a pressure or volume controlled mode of ventilation can, you know, be triggered through something like assist control. So which should you use? I think this is, I think this is why it's important to get out there in the world and see things that are bigger than just one institution. Because if you just train and work at one place, you're probably going to assume that you should just use one of them. Whatever your default is there, your first line. And the other one is kind of an alternative or fallback or something for niche cases. But then you go out there and you go somewhere else where it's the opposite. And then you're like, well, now I'm confused. Which is the right one? There is not a right one. And that's where we should start in this conversation. There's very little reason to think either physiologically or through the evidence we have that either of these modes is better. It leads to better outcomes or is superior. There are practical considerations, and we'll look at some of those. But it really is, at the end of the day, you could use either, be perfectly justified in it. So don't let anyone tell you that either mode is wrong. The other thing to understand and accept is that these two variables define the breath you're giving, along with, you know, flow and inspiratory time. But pressure and volume are just fundamental to the breath. And no matter what mode you're in, one of them you're going to set and the other is going to kind of result from it. So one is going to be an independent variable and the other a dependent variable. And you can choose which way you want to go on that, which one you want to set. But you still need to know about both of them because they're both important. They are both relevant to lung protectiveness. So we like to see that you're controlling the plateau pressures under, let's say, 30. Well, probably lower is better. You could look at other things like driving pressure, but ultimately the pressure is relevant to that. But so is the volume. You know, controlled tidal volumes probably limit lung injury as well. And it can't just be one or the other. They both tell you a story about lung inflation, distension, stress. So if you like to set pressures, you need to make sure those pressures are lung protective, but you need to monitor the volume that results from it to make sure that's also lung protective. And if you like to set volume, you need to make sure that's lung protective, and then you need to check your pressure and make sure that is too. So, you know, they both need to be in your control and observation. It's just which you prefer to actually define. And of course, volumes are also relevant to the overall minute ventilation and therefore the patient's CO2 clearance. So these are all things that you're kind of going to need to know about. Of course, an advantage in volume control is that because those volumes are going to be more consistent because you just set them, the minute ventilation is probably a little more controllable, which means you may have a little tighter grasp on that patient's overall ventilation. Now, it's still a finite grasp. The patient can say, breathe faster and therefore ventilate more. But it gives you a little bit more control there. One important difference is that all things being equal, the kind of traditional classic versions of these modes, pressure control probably tends to be a little more comfortable in actively breathing patients, especially those with a pretty strong respiratory drive, only because fundamentally pressure control ventilation uses a variable inspiratory flow. In other words, you don't set the flow rate. You set this pressure that you want to hit, and the machine kind of delivers the amount of flow that's needed to hit that pressure. So if a patient is inspiring vigorously, the machine will try to match that flow and give them the inspiratory flow that they want. Whereas in volume control, you generally set the inspiratory flow, and you could set it lower or higher, but there's no reason to think that whatever your flow you set is going to match the flow that the patient wants if they're sucking in, especially if they're sucking in hard. So it's easier to have flow desynchronies, this kind of air hunger where the patient is pulling and they're not getting enough flow, so they're creating more negative pressures and either not getting fully supported by the ventilator or actually like sucking at this thing like a milkshake straw. And, you know, I think that probably is a risk for things like lung injury. Certainly it's not comfortable. That's much less common in pressure control, although, you know, nothing's perfect. You could still have flow desynchronies even on pressure. But I think that alone is a reasonable argument to make for pressure modes, just that, you know, you see these kind of flow starvation occurrences all the time in volume control ventilation. And if you recognize it and can manage it, it's not a huge deal. But honestly, most clinicians don't have a really strong understanding of the ventilator and recognizing waveforms and things. So it goes unrecognized a lot. And I think it's probably kind of a drag for patients. So, you know, pressure control probably has a leg up there. People used to think pressure control tended to be more comfortable also because the flow shape is inherently decelerating. You get the peak flow at the start of the breath because that's you're kind of rapidly trying to reach the target pressure. And then it decelerates, it decreases and tapers off as the breath continues because you just need much less flow to maintain that pressure. And that's probably what most patients do with their native breathing too. So it kind of feels right. As opposed to a square wave of flow where the flow immediately jumps up to its max rate, is maintained at a set flow, an unchanging flow over the whole breath until the breath is done, and then it just instantly goes away. That's just kind of a weird mechanical way to get flow. However, for many years now, ventilators have offered the ability to give a decelerating ramp of flow, even in volume control. I think really any ventilator on the market now has this, and by and large, this is the default most places, a decelerating ramp on their volume control. So that I think is not really a meaningful argument anymore. There used to be an idea that in pressure control, it's not just a kind of fixed, arbitrary, decelerating ramp of flow. The flow is kind of matching the patient's lung compliance because as you inflate and recruit lung, it's trying to maintain this set pressure, and therefore you're kind of matching the breath delivery to the lung's actual response, you know, which probably means nothing in a healthy lung, but in a diseased lung with shunt and cyclic de-recruitment and things, maybe it's a little bit better at kind of homogeneously inflating the lung. I don't know if there's any truth to this, but I think that, you know, if you're comparing apples to apples, in other words, pressure control to volume control with a decelerating ramp, I think any difference is negligible. I don't really think there's a leg to stand on arguing pressure control is just inherently better for like a hypoxic patient with diseased lungs nowadays. I think that's a real reach. In pressure control, you typically set the inspiratory time. You say the breath's going to last this long, a second or three quarters of a second or whatever. Whereas in volume control, the inspiratory time is typically just a dependent variable. It results from the set flow rate and volume. You know, this could be a good or a bad thing, right? Having the direct ability to control the eye time could be useful if you want to have that sort of control. For instance, if you really need to manipulate that eye to E ratio. You have an obstructive patient like COPD or asthma, and you really want to increase the expiratory time, and you want to set a shorter eye time. Or, on the other hand, a hypoxic patient who's refractory and you want to start stretching out the inspiratory time, get a longer breath, really more of almost a breath hold, give more time for oxygen exchange until you're doing like an inverse ratio ventilation. It's just easy to do that when you directly set that eye time. Or on some ventilators, you set the IDE ratio, or it's the same thing. Whereas in volume control, this is all kind of a more removed thing. You have to do a little bit more calculation. You know, that is true. And so some people will, the patient's getting very hypoxic, will like, oh, we'll go to pressure control and, you know, start stretching out the eye times, for instance. Some ventilators allow you to set an inspiratory time in volume control, either just the actual time or setting a plateau, an inspiratory hold Because if you're delivering a fixed flow, then you say, well, I want to stretch this breath out by, you know, kind of holding the breath during it, which is ultimately the same thing you're doing in a long eye time on pressure control. If you've kind of reached your pressure and you're just holding it, you're just saying, I want to hold the breath for a certain amount of time. So it's not necessarily a kind of hard benefit for either one. It's more, again, a matter of convenience. In the same vein, having a pressure control mode allows you to directly monitor the plateau pressure without doing an additional step. You know, in volume control, if you want to know the plateau pressure, which generally is, you want to know peaks and plateaus, but for reasons of lung protectiveness and so on, the plateau is probably a little more important. And to do that, you need to do a maneuver. You got to do an inspiratory hold, which usually involves you pushing a button on the ventilator and the vent holds the breath at inspiration and you see what it equilibrates to. Not difficult to do unless a patient is super active and keeps breathing on you or something, but it does require you to do a step. On pressure control, you don't have to, because generally the peak pressure you see just on the screen, the pressure the ventilator is feeling at the head of the ventilator, is your alveolar pressure as well. That is, you know, there are caveats there. In a shorter breath where you never quite get to the end and stop having flow, that may not be true. I mean, this is true only because as a pressure control breath completes its breath, the flow drops to zero on its own because of that decelerating ramp. But if you cut the breath short, you may not quite get there. And there are other caveats. So you could still check. Some ventilators won't even let you check a plateau in pressure control, but most will. And there could be a small difference, or it could be a bigger difference. Usually there really isn't much, but by and large, they are the same. So that makes it a little easier to do that process of monitoring pressures and volumes. Because on volume control, you know the volume because you set it, and to know the plateau, you have to go and press a button. On pressure control, you know the pressure because you set it, and you can just look at the screen and get the volume. So, you know, you can monitor things from the door, in other words. You know, maybe that's convenient. Although, harking back to the last point, if you did something like set a inspiratory pause on volume control, you would be able to see the plateaus from the doorway as well, because with each breath, there's already a plateau pressure. There's a hold involved. I've heard of places that this is kind of a default for them. They just put a little pause in each breath, so you're like constantly monitoring plateaus. It seems a little weird to me because it's just that's a very weird way to breathe. Like a awake, spontaneously breathing patient is probably going to be like, why am I holding my breath each time I breathe? Maybe in a knocked out or paralyzed patient, no problem. But something to think about. There's also, of course, you know, hybrid modes. Traditionally, we'd call this PRVC, pressure regulated volume control, which is, I think, still the most commonly used term. Every vent calls it something else, and most of us try to ignore the vent-specific terminology. Of course, the name PRVC, I think, is also kind of poor nomenclature. Vent terms are just kind of a mess. Anyway, but this is just pressure control, where the ventilator, from breath to breath, is titrating the inspiratory pressure instead of you having to come and adjust the pressures in order to target a goal tidal volume. You say, I want to be around a tidal volume of 450. So the vent keeps monitoring the tidal volumes you're actually getting in these pressure control type breaths and, you know, increases or decreases the pressure it uses, you know, depending on the compliance of the lungs and the patient's effort, giving more if you need, giving less if you need. Is this like a best of both worlds kind of thing? You know, to some extent, I think it can be. You get those benefits of pressure control, like maybe a little more comfort, those variable flows and so on. But the more consistent tidal volume and therefore minute ventilation of volume control. I think really one of the problems it solves is that while you could say in pressure control, I'm going to set the pressure and then we're going to keep an eye on the tidal volumes and, you know, adjust the inspiratory pressure to, you know, target the tidal volumes you want for both lung protectiveness and the minute ventilation we want to maintain. Practically speaking, people may or may not do that. You know, how often are they actually going to stick their head in the room, monitor the tidal volumes that the vent is producing, and go up or down on the pressures on the ventilator? You know, with the attentive respiratory therapist in a good center familiar with these modes, It may be regularly, but even then, how often? Every few minutes? No, certainly not. You know, maybe every hour or something. Still, I mean, if the patient's varying a lot, there could be a lot of inconsistency. And some places, it may be hardly ever. You know, it may be like once a day when the providers come around and they're like, oh, we should, we're getting too much tidal volume, will come down. And that's very rarely. Maybe not even that. I mean, maybe they are not even used to looking at this. People just may ignore the tidal volumes and pressure control. And, you know, that's probably not great. So in these kind of, you know, hybrid titrating modes like PRVC, it deals with it for you. The counter argument is that whenever you have a mode that tries to be smarter than you, people may not fully understand it. People get mixed up. They think that these modes are volume control when they're not, or they don't get the titration, or there's always a concern that a patient who has a lot of effort is in respiratory distress and is breathing harder. The vent may decrease the amount of support it gives them because they are getting a large enough tidal volume, and that may not be what they want if they're in respiratory distress. I'm kind of back and forth on this argument, but there is a concern here. And just, you have to consider the patient-ventilator interactions. But, you know, if all things being equal and you're trying to kind of minimize risks and in the real world when people have varying levels of vent expertise and staffing and attentiveness and all that, if you had to pick one mode, I probably would pick something like PRVC. It's just, I think you're least likely to have problems across the board here, but certainly nothing is perfect. And, you know, you need to understand your vent no matter what you're using. So there you have it. Some of the pros and cons here. I think the key two takeaways are, first of all, neither is better. And like, if somebody is trying to make you a real case that no, you must never use this other mode, I think it is they who are confused. There is just no leg to stand on to try to make that case. Again, you can get into nitty gritty about, you know, you like it because of this, or there are these pros and cons, but nothing is better. Maybe it's better for a certain use case or whatever. But I think, honestly, people making arguments like that are the ones who are, they're in that small town mentality. Like, that's what they're used to. That's what they were trained on. And, you know, it's passed down to that's the doctrine or the dogma, you know. And it's like, you go and you, that's why you travel. You go to Paris and you're like, wow, people drink coffee differently. The world is bigger than that. And the other important thing is that there is no substitute for understanding the ventilator. If some of the things I've been saying are a little confusing to you, you know, it's going to be that much more confusing at the bedside if it comes to something like troubleshooting the ventilator. So I hate to say it, but there's no way around really understanding what the vent's doing in these different modes and being able to look at the patient and the ventilator and the waveforms and understand what's happening and the variables involved. That's kind of the only way to really master this process and be able to find any flaws and target it to the patient. You know, I don't want to be the guy who's like, well, you just have to know everything. That's the only way to do it. And that's why I'm kind of talking about some practicalities. But I hope you kind of get the idea here that it sort of is fundamentally complicated, and there's no shortcuts or free lunch to really kind of make sure everything is where it should be. You have to know what those things are and your goals for them and so on. So, hey, that's mechanical ventilation. Isn't it fun? But that's my perspective. Tell me what you guys think. If you really kind of want to make a case for one or the other of these modes, I'm open to it, and I'll talk to you next time.